You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Have you ever noticed that the older our house gets, the more problems it has? A leaky roof, drafty windows, creaky floors. Our fix-it list just grows and grows. And you know, the same is true for our bodies, isn't it? The older we get, the more things seem to just break down. Well, today on Through the Bible, Dr. J. Vernon McGee has good news for us. There'll be a day when we'll all stand before the Lord with glorified bodies. I can hardly wait. I'm Steve Schwetz. Welcome aboard the Bible Bus as we continue our journey through 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So as you find your seat and get comfortable, here are a few encouraging letters from our fellow passengers. First, we've got an email from a World Prayer Team member named Bonnie. I love the letters that you read from listeners. The one you read from the 94-year-old man in Bavaria really tugged at my heartstrings. How great it would be to sit down and talk with this man, if only we were all this close in our relationship to our Lord. As a World Prayer Team member, it is truly a privilege to pray for those who don't know our Savior, but it's also an inspiration for me to hear from someone like this elderly man of God. What a wonderful role model. I pray for all of you daily as I ride the Bible bus. God bless your continuing and untiring efforts to take the whole word to the whole world. Well, thanks for your prayers, Bonnie. It's a pleasure to have you join us today and every day. Well, if you'd like to join Bonnie and me and thousands of other listeners as we pray for God's entire word to reach his entire world, then sign up today at ttb.org/pray. Now, as a member of our World Prayer Team, you're going to receive a daily email with listener stories like the one that Bonnie mentioned, and then prompts on how you can help us pray for specific countries and languages. Again, we'd love to have you partner with us in prayer. So join us at ttb.org/pray. Our next email comes from a listener named Linda in California. I haven't yet found a church home, and your radio program is like the voice of my family calling me each day. I recently studied Ruth with you, and it has been incredible. I could write for weeks about how much I've learned. I listen to it over and over to soak up all the truth. Thank you for being a voice of steadfast love in my ear. I've enclosed a bit of money to keep the old Bible bus chugging along. Well, thanks for your support, Linda. We're so grateful for both your investment that helps keep the Bible bus traveling through the community and around the world, and for your prayers. So if you'd like to provide maybe a tank of gas or a new set of tires for the Bible bus, then visit ttb.org/give or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, our final letter comes to us from a listener named Donna in Texas, who also enjoyed our study in Ruth. I heard Dr. McGee many years ago on the radio, but now I have your app and join you every day. I sit out in my yard early in the morning and listen. It's so refreshing to start the day in God's Word. My current study is Acts, and I'm loving every minute, but there was something special about learning about our kinsman redeemer in Ruth. The Old Testament has come alive as we together walk through the pages of the Bible. Thank you. Well, thanks for taking the time to write, Donna. In addition to our study of 2 Corinthians, if you would like to study Ruth, just download our app today at ttb.org and dive straight in. And we'd love to hear from you as well. What are you learning as we study God's Word together? You can email your note to BibleBus@ttb.org or leave a message on our Facebook page. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious Word. Would you give us a deeper love for it and for you as we devote this time to study? May we see your hand on every page. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study of 2 Corinthians 5 on Through the Bible.
Now, friends, as we come to this fifth chapter, we're still in this first section of 2 Corinthians in the comfort of God. Now we have here God's comfort in the ministry of martyrdom for Christ. We've seen God's comfort in the glorious ministry of Christ in chapter 3. And what a wonderful place it is that today it's an unveiled Christ that we declare. And then we have God's comfort in the ministry of suffering for Christ, chapter 4. Now we have God's comfort in the ministry of martyrdom for Christ. And we want to look at that. Now I want to read verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, I want you to notice what Paul is saying here. He's not saying we hope that we have an earthly house, or we expect to have an earthly house, or even we believe that we have an earthly house. Do you notice the way that he put it here? He says, we know that we have. And believe me, friends, that is a pretty big no. That is a no. That means that he knows by experience. He knows because of the fact the Spirit of God has made it real to him. Now he says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, and the word tabernacle is skene, it actually means tent. That was the word, by the way, used for the tabernacle in the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament. The Old Testament tabernacle, Mosaic tabernacle, is called a skene, a tabernacle. It's a flimsy sort of thing. Now, what he's saying here is something that is quite wonderful. This verse has always been a big question mark to me. I have never been too dogmatic about the interpretation of it, and I may not be today, but I'm now come to the conviction that what he's talking about here is not a temporary body. I've always suggested that as a possibility, that if this earthly house or this tabernacle and this tent that we live in, and that means this body of ours, that if this dissolves, we have a building of God, a house not made with hand. And then I thought for many years that it could be that he'd have sort of a temporary. You know, you take your car into the garage to be worked on, and they let you have a loaner. You drive that around. Well, the Lord, until he gives us our new bodies, well, he's going to give us a temporary one. I never liked that, but that seemed to be what he was saying. But I want you to notice that that's not true. What Paul is talking about here is one that is eternal in the heavens. This is not temporary. He's talking about that new body that we're going to get. Now, let's look at this for just a moment, because very frankly, friends, this is a very important section of the Word of God. The thing that is all important and something that we need to have clearly fixed in our minds and in our hearts, that there is an outward man and an inward man. Paul talked about that in this last chapter, by the way, that our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And a great many people misunderstand that. I had a letter from a man. He says the Bible is filled with contradictions, and he said, I can prove it, because he says, I get so tired hearing you say that so-and-so has gone to be with the Lord, and then you talk about the body is going to be raised, or the person is going to be raised from the dead down here. And he says, now that's a contradiction. Well, you see, this man has missed the entire point, that it's the body that's put in the grave, but the individual, the real person, has gone to be with Christ if that individual is a believer. You see, the things that are seen, they're temporal. You say, you've seen me, or maybe you haven't. Now, many listeners just make a trip when I'm speaking in certain sections. In fact, a family told me up in Ohio, well, they said, you know, we made a trip here, and they drove 50 miles to just see how you look. Do you want to know something? They didn't see me. They saw the house I live in, this old tent I live in. I want to be very frank with you. This tent I live in is becoming a very weak tent. It's flapping around. It's becoming very weak. The picture that I suggested to you was back in Ecclesiastes, and I hope that sometimes you might look at that. And we'll be coming to it one of these days, and the picture that's given our old age is really something. It says, the keepers of the house shall tremble. This old house of mine. Who are the keepers? Well, these knees of mine. They're beginning to tremble. And the strong man shall bow themselves. The strong men. Well, who are those? Well, these are the shoulders. they're beginning. My wife says to me every now and then, she says, oh, stand up straight. Well, I don't stand up straight. And then it goes on to say, the grinders shall cease. Your teeth are going to fall out, friends, because they're few. And they that look out of the windows be darkened. And I'm now wearing trifocals. I remember when I first put on glasses. No focal about it at all, just glasses. But now it's trifocal. May I say to you, the sound of the grinding is low. And for some men and women, you know, the voice becomes very low, becomes very squeaky. That's old age. That's the thing that's taking place in all of us. Now, this is the outward man, you see. But there is an inward man. And that inward man is spiritual. And it's difficult for us to understand that. Now, God is a person, but God is not physical or material. God's a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, the Lord Jesus said. And the psalmist says, he maketh his angels spirit, Psalm 104:4. And I hear people say today, I don't like getting old. Oh, my friend, I'm enjoying it. In fact, the matter is, I'm enjoying retiring from a church because I'm doing now what I want to do. And it's wonderful to do that. My doctor told me, says, I want you to do what you want to do. And when my wife tells me to do something, I say, look, my doctor tells me to do what I want to do. Now, I don't want to do what you want me to do. But I can't get her to buy that package all the time. Now, may I say to you, it's wonderful. Every passing year now is bringing me closer, you know, to him. And it's quite wonderful. And then I'm going to see him someday. I'm going to see the face of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to see him, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. And I want to tell you, friends, I rejoice. And I'll be very frank with you. I don't have as much conflict today with the world, the flesh, and the devil as I used to have. I think they've given up on me. And may I say to you, it's wonderful. This old house is getting old. As someone asked President Adams years ago, says, how do you feel? Oh, he says, I feel fine. But this old house that I live in, it's really getting feeble. The shingle's coming out on top. And the foundation seems to be coming out from underneath. But my friend, we have a house eternal in the heaven. We got one up yonder. That body that he's going to give us someday. This old body, sown a natural body, it's going to be raised a spiritual body. Now he says something here that's quite wonderful also. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Well, I'm groaning in this body. You just can't help but groan. And he goes on to say, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. I built several years ago a study up over my garage, which is right next to the house. I couldn't study at the church. It just was an office. And so I transferred my study there. And I sleep up there. And sometimes when I start down, there's steps there. It's about a little over half a floor. And when I come down, I noticed just a few short years ago that it wasn't easy to come down of a morning when you first get up. And I'd groan. And every step I'd take, I'd groan. And my wife told me, says, you ought not do that. And I said, well, it's scriptural to groan because Paul says we groan in this house. And I want to groan in this when I'm in because he says that it's scriptural to groan. And my friend, may I say to you, we can do a lot of groaning in these houses of ours. And it'll be scriptural, by the way. But he says something here in verse 3 that's quite unusual. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, that's an interesting thing. One of these days, he's going to call his own out of the world. And those that are his own are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to stand before him. How? Well, clothed in his righteousness. But everybody that's going to be raised won't be clothed with his righteousness because he was delivered for our offenses and he was raised for our justification, that is, our righteousness. And they haven't accepted it. They rejected him. And therefore, we are told that there is a resurrection both of the just and of the unjust. That's what Paul mentions in Acts 25:15. And then the Lord Jesus himself said in John 5:29, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, he speaks here of a resurrection when you're going to be clothed. Paul says, I want to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And my friend, have you ever wondered how you're going to stand in his presence someday? Are you clothed in the righteousness of Christ, accepted in the beloved? Oh, how wonderful it is. That is our state, you see, and that is the way we'll have to appear before him. Now, will you notice here that there is a resurrection, though, of the great white throne, and that is the lost that are brought there. They are not clothed with his righteousness. They're going to be judged according to their works. That's the way they wanted. Actually, the Bible doesn't mention just one judgment day. There are really about 8 great judgments that are mentioned in Scripture. There's the cross. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. Why? Because he bore it on the cross, but is passed from death to life. Then there is self-judgment. We're told in 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. And then there's chastisement. The Lord takes us to the woodshed. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son he receiveth. Hebrews 12:6. And then the believer's works are going to be judged. We're going to see that in this chapter. And then the nation Israel's to be judged. Gentile nations are to be judged. Fallen angels are to be judged. And then there's the great white throne where the lost are brought. And they appear naked there. That is, they're not clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Now, Paul goes on to say, verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan. If you feel like groaning, you groan, my friend. It's all right. That's scriptural. Being burdened. Yes, we are. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, we're just groaning in these bodies. I'm not groaning because of the fact I'm not clothed with the righteousness of Christ. I am. I've accepted him as my Savior, and he's my only hope that I have. Now he says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now you see, he's let me know there's more to follow. The best is yet to come. But he's given us the Holy Spirit today. So that down here in these weak bodies, with all of our feebleness, all of our frailty, he's given us the Holy Spirit. That's just an earnest. Earnest money is the down payment you put. He's purchased us. He's made a down payment. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer today. And one of these days, we're going to move out of this old house of mine, and then we're going to meet the Lord in the air, my friend. How wonderful this opens up, this vista to us. Now he goes on to say something else here. Verse 6, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, if we're home in the body, well, that is, I'm at home in my body. How about you? I mean, I feel perfectly at home. I like this body of mine. As a little fella, I had to learn to walk. I've got a scar on the side of my temple. I fell against a bed, and I was learning to walk, my mother said. Well, I've got used to this body of mine. I'm at home in this body. But I want to tell you, when I'm at home in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. That's the thing that he's saying now, that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But will you notice he says, but we walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody says, well, how do you know that? Well, we're walking by faith. Well, I take his word for it. I'd rather take his word than anyone else. Faith is taking God at his word. We're living in the body and we're absent for the Lord. And he goes on to say, I'm confident, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord is the better translation. Now, my friend, the important thing is this, that when you die, the soul doesn't go to sleep. Soul never even dies. You go to be with Christ. And the body is put to sleep. But somebody says, do you have scripture for that? Oh, yes. Sleep in Jesus. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, that's not sleep unconsciousness, you see. The body that sleeps, and it's the body that's going to be raised. Resurrection doesn't refer to the soul or spirit, refers to the body. The word itself means anastasis, means to stand up. And so we walk by faith today. That's the way you'll have to walk. And so Paul says, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. May I say that Paul could say, we're looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to it, but I want to be very careful. Paul says, verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. How accepted? Well, he's going to talk about it. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is the Bema. When I was in Corinth, several pictures were made of me by the tour group. I've been sent several pictures by some that took them there, standing on that Bema. That was the place where the judges of the city met. They judged the citizens that had done certain things. It wasn't a question of life or death there. Now, this is not the great white throne, the judgment seat of Christ. It's for believers. It's to see whether they're going to receive a reward or not. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who's he talking to? Believers. That we may receive the things done in the body. That is, while you're down here, my friend, you're going to be judged by the way you've lived the Christian life, how you've lived in these bodies down here. When we go into his presence, we're through with this old body. But my friend, how did you use it? How did you live down here? And therefore, Paul made it very clear that he wanted to stay down here. And because of that, Paul could say, as he said to the Philippians, you remember, he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And he says, to go and be with Christ is far better. But he said, I'd like to stay down here. I'd like to, for your sake, I'd like to preach the gospel of Christ a little longer. And I had a very good friend here in Southern California when I got cancer, wrote me, said, now others are praying that you be spared. I'm praying the Lord will take you because I know you're ready. I said, wait a minute. You let the Lord decide that. It's between me and the Lord. You stay out of this. Because I'm like that boy years ago in my Southland. The preacher one night says, how many want to go to heaven? Everybody put up their hands but that boy. Preacher looked down and said to him, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, sure I want to go to heaven. But I thought you was getting up a load for tonight. And friends, I'm like that boy. I didn't want to go right away when I had cancer. Paul didn't want to go. He said, I want to stay. I want to stay in this body and do as much as I possibly can. Friends, Paul says, I believe I'd rather live a little longer and preach Christ to people. And he says, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. Whether present or absent, I want Christ to be magnified, that I might be accepted of him, that I might receive a reward. And believers ought to live, by the way, in the light of that. Now, our time is up today, but we have seen now the first motive for preaching the gospel. What is the motivation today of believers should be? They try today to have pep meetings to pep them up. Well, here's one of them. You're going to have to answer to the Lord for your life, the Lord Jesus. You're going to report to him. Now, your salvation's not in question, but your reward sure is. Then there are two other motivations that Paul mentions here. We'll be looking at that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
If you're at the point in your life when your body is groaning, have hope. Until then, let's follow Paul's example and look for ways that we can magnify Jesus. You can listen to this message again for free at ttb.org or purchase Dr. McGee's entire 5-year study on our Bible Bus flash drive by visiting ttb.org or calling 1-800-65-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you're in touch, be sure to tell us how you prefer to listen to Through the Bible. You know, there's a bunch of different options, and your feedback is really helpful to us. What does it mean to be a servant of God? We'll discover that next time as we continue to journey through the Bible.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's Word go today?
Thank you.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Greetings, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. We must give him praise today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Praise the Lord. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. On Wednesday night, we have prayer and Bible study, and that starts at 7:30 p.m. The telephone number is 732-434-2231. I'll repeat the number again, 732-434-2231. Our church service starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday morning sharp, and right now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. Just be a blessing. Glory to God. You call that line, and there's someone that will pray with you, or perhaps agree with you according to what the Word of God says, that by His stripes you'll heal. If you're suffering from any kind of problem, medical problem, or whatever it is, we're not saying that we're doctors. We believe what the Word of God says. And when our faith is lined up with what the Word of God says, then the scripture speaks for itself. Praise God. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there in radio land. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to you and only you deserves the honor and the glory. I pray for them out there, that whomever and whatever and wherever they are, nursing homes, prison cells, automobiles, whatever it is, Lord, I just pray right now that the healing power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would touch the lives of those that are in need of healing. There may be people that are sitting in their easy chair. There may be some that are in the automobile, wherever it is. Father, I pray right now that your word will touch their hearts, and the healing power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would touch them, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Well, today we want to, if you have your Bibles, pray that you look in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Praise God. We're talking about faith today. Glory to God. And the subject is, what is faith? There are many people are saying that, well, they have faith. And I just want to say that when we talk about faith, our faith has to be anchored in something. And when I say something, I'm speaking in terms of faith has to be attached to something. It's not just faith by itself, because in the book of James it tells us that faith without works is dead. So if you just have faith alone, it's dead faith. Faith has to have a corresponding action to it in order to receive the results of faith. Now, the book of Hebrews, this book, epistle, was written, and I strongly believe that Apostle Paul wrote it, but there's many people that have other thoughts about it. But it was to the Jewish people, the Hebrews, the one that had received the Lord Jesus Christ, and now they were getting ready to return back under the law. And it cannot work like that. The Word of God is clear. Law and grace cannot mix. It's just like oil and water. So we want to look at this thing in a clear picture here concerning what faith is. Now, Minister Gloria, thank God for you being here this morning. praise the Lord, and assisting me in this message here. We know that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And God has anointed you, placed his spirit on the inside of you so that you can assist. What a wonderful help meet. You're not behind me. You're alongside me.
Praise
to help me. Praise God. Mm-hmm. God has given you that anointing. Praise God. So you want to, would you like to read the first verse there?
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Praise God. It says now faith. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is not yesterday. It is now faith. And I want to say to those that tune into the broadcast that whatever your faith is, it has to be anchored in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has to be attached to the one that's able to do all things. Many people have said, well, I have faith. Well, that is wonderful. You have faith, but your faith has to be in someone. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it says, now faith is the substance. It's the title deed, the assurance of things hoped for. See, but I want to say something here. Faith is now, but hope is in the future. Hope is later on. And there are many people today, they're hoping for something instead of exercising the faith. And we've all been into that arena there until the Holy Spirit gave us spiritual insight concerning that faith is right now. So I like to say this, faith is the evidence of things not seen. So faith gives us what we have in our possession. We believe it, although we don't have it, but it is the evidence. None of us have seen angels, but the word of God says that there are angels, and therefore our faith gives us the understanding that angels exist. Praise God. That angels exist. So faith is the evidence. I said faith is the evidence. It's a present reality. And what we need to understand is that when we are not hoping for anything, we align ourselves up with what the Word of God says. And we know who the Word of God is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the author and finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. So what happens is that we place our faith in what God has said. And this is why faith is our evidence. Faith is when we are believing God for something, our faith has to be the evidence of what we believe in God for, because it says now faith, right now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Now that's very clear, that means, you know, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So what are you hoping for? The faith has to be, and many people out there, praise God, may be suffering from some form of malady, sickness in their bodies and so forth. So what one should believe and trust in is that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross, our faith is in him. You have not seen Jesus.
Amen.
None of us have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But we believe, according to what the Word of God says, that faith in him and only him gives us the results of what we desire. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So it says here that faith is the evidence. Faith is the, I like to say faith is the evidence.
Amen. Praise
of
God.
Things not seen.
Praise God.
Things that cannot be seen with your natural eyes. Mm-hmm. Our faith gives us that evidence.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Minister Glory, you want to read the second verse there? Praise God.
For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Isn't that something? We understand that by faith, mm-hmm. by faith. That's why when God spoke in Genesis 1 there, he said, let there be light, and there was light.
Amen.
God spoke this.
That's right.
You know, let the firmaments and everything else that he spoke about there in Genesis 1 there, He was speaking by faith. This is the reason why none of us can say, well, I have faith, but I don't have any works. Mm-hmm. You see, it's all been declared. Mm-hmm. And James says, faith without works is dead. Show me your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So, you know, the Bible tells us that in Hebrew, the 10th chapter, mm-hmm. in this very same book here, and the 38th verse there, praise God,
mm-hmm.
that how we are to live, the just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
The just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
If any man draws back.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. My soul shall have no pleasure in him.
That's
in other
right.
words, God's not pleased. First of all, without faith, you can't please God.
That's right. That's what
the scripture tells us that.
That's
we'll
right.
come down to that in a few verses of scripture here. Without faith. Now, I've looked at this. There's a lot of thoughts that have crossed my mind concerning, well, without faith. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, we should not be without faith.
Amen.
It takes faith for us to get saved.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that for by grace are we saved through faith. So what it is that without faith, we could get nothing from God.
Right.
We cannot please God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We cannot please God without faith.
Amen.
It's impossible to please Him. It never said that we might please Him. No. It's impossible to mm-hmm. please Him. Mm-hmm. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, I want to tell you, our lifestyle mm-hmm. is by faith.
Amen.
The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. So how are you living today out there in Radio Land? Are you living by faith, or perhaps you're trying to do things on your own? Is your faith anchored in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done? That's the only way that we can please the Father. That's the only way that we have faith, because it has to be anchored in the things of God. Praise the Lord. Minister Glory, you know, the in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, faith is a lifestyle
yes.
that we have as children of God, and also our behavior. The scripture says there in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, for we walk by faith. Well, this is how we order our behavior, by faith. Everything we're doing, we believe in God and according to His word, but we are doing it by faith.
Amen.
Amen. We're not walking by sight.
Right.
Sight is of the senses, mm-hmm. the five senses that God has given us, which has in the proper perspective, can be utilized concerning this natural world here.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about faith, it has to be attached to something. And what it is that it has to be attached to what the Word of God says.
Because in 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, it says, while we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they're temporal.
Yes.
But the things which are not seen are eternal.
So the whole thing is that faith, when we exercise faith, we don't see what we're asking for.
Nope.
But we're believing
yep.
by faith that we have it.
Have it. Amen.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
Praise God. So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says here that for we walk by faith. Now, we walk by faith. This is things that are pertaining to the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
Word of God. And not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
Sight is dealing with your five senses, which has, they have, how should I say, they have a position there, but it's in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's not spiritual. Faith is spiritual.
Yes.
And many people today, they say, well, I sat in that chair because I had faith that it would hold me. No, there was confidence that when you sat in that chair that it would hold you up. Because faith is not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You know, Minister Gloria, I was studying there in Mark 2, and it really blessed me when I look at this thing here by faith there, that these four men that were carrying this this man that was sick of the palsy,
mm-hmm.
praise God, and what happened, their determination, and how they were determined to get that man to into the place where Jesus was ministering in that house.
Yes.
And what happened is that when they got to that house, it was so crowded and they couldn't get in through the door and so forth. So what they did, they had to go up on the roof.
Amen.
And now that's determination.
That is.
But the thing is that they went up on that roof and they ripped the tiles from the roof there, yes. a portion of it, and they lowered that man down in the presence of Jesus.
That's faith.
That is faith. Well, the determination.
That's right.
To get that man to Jesus. How many of us would say, well, it's crowded there. We can't get him in, so we'll wait for another time. But they didn't do that. What they did, they were determined to get that man there in the presence of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened when they lowered him down, you know, the scripture says, and when Jesus saw their faith.
Yes.
Now let's look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is the evidence of things not seen. What Jesus saw was the determination for those people,
yes.
or those four men that were carrying this man that was sick of the palsy, to get him in the presence so that this man was looking for healing. You know, he came there looking for healing, and they were trying to get him in the presence of Jesus to be healed. But what did Jesus say? Jesus saw their faith, and he said, oh, wait a minute. He didn't say wait a minute, but he said, son, thy sins are forgiven.
Praise God.
No, thy sins are forgiven. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, the man looking for healing, and yeah. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
There are many things in our lives here that we pray, and we try to come before the Lord and ask, well, Lord, I need this. But see, Jesus is looking at something else
That's
there that
right.
has to be taken care of.
Amen.
Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
So, faith. But I really enjoyed that that part of the scriptures there where these men were determined to get him to Jesus.
That's right.
You got to have faith, because, in other words, if they weren't determined by faith to get him in the presence of Jesus, he would have never gotten there.
Right.
They would have stopped and say, well, it's too crowded. We can't get him in there. There's no way that we can get him in the presence. But what they did is that they went up on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. I tell you, what faith that is. What determination.
Yes. Faith is action.
Yes, faith is action.
And that's why we must believe. That's action. believe.
Corresponding action.
Corresponding action.
Yes, praise God. Our faith has to be in
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, praise God.
And what he has done for us.
And when we believe in God for something, we have to exercise our faith.
Pastor,
yes.
Well, isn't it true that God has given us all a measure of faith, you know, a measure of faith that we're supposed to grow on? So if you hear the word and believe the word, then your faith grows because you're believing in what Jesus has done.
Well, first of all, that is true, but the scripture tells us as we anchor our statements that's going out there in radio land, we must be very clear, speak with an understanding so that we can be understood.
Yes.
And what it is that faith cometh by hearing.
Yes.
And hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So where there's no word of God being preached or taught, then there is no faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because Apostle Paul said, faith cometh.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it coming? If it's already there, it doesn't need to come.
Mm-hmm.
So it says faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
So we have to hear what the word of God is saying. That's why every day we, you know, get into the word of God and read it. Now, it comes by hearing. So I like to read the word out loud so that I can hear it as well as reading it. Praise God. Now, that's just me. Everybody don't have to do that. But that is when you hear and continue to hear. The scripture never said that faith cometh by heard. And a lot of people today, they say, well, I've heard that. So they want to hear something else. Well, when you get that and you continue to hear that, your faith will increase.
Amen.
Your faith will grow.
Praise God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at it a little further here, because there's so many examples here concerning faith. Praise God. Faith has to be activated. There has to be corresponding action to what we believe.
Yes.
We just can't say we believe the word of God and that's it, because the scripture tells us that there are demons that believe and they tremble. So it has to be more than just believing.
Yes.
Our faith has to be anchored in
the word of God.
The word of God.
Yes.
And we know who the word of God is.
Jesus.
Jesus is the word of God.
Praise God.
So when we begin to ask God for something, our faith has to line itself up with what the word of God says. If we believe it, then we'll have the results of what the word says.
Praise God.
And many of us today, we've fallen short of that, because a lot of times we want to deal with our feelings instead of what the scripture says. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, I strongly believe, according to scripture, that he's done it all.
Yes.
It's a finished work.
Yes.
And our faith has to be in him and he alone in order to get the results that we desire.
If we can turn back to Mark 11.
Amen.
And 22, it says, have faith in God.
Well, why didn't it say, why didn't Jesus, when he was speaking, say, have faith in your church?
No.
Or have faith in the minister
no.
or the pastor?
No.
Well, who is the faith going to be in?
In God.
In God, it says.
Yes.
And we know who God is.
Yep.
Now, since you went there on the 24th verse, it tells us there that what things soever we desire when we pray,
believe
that we have received
them.
And it's,
you shall have them.
And you shall have them. Now, Jesus is speaking, and he's given us an understanding concerning that we don't have the things that we are asking for or praying for, but we are to believe that we have received it.
Amen.
Now, that is something.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really look at what is taking place here, you're saying, well, now I have this. I'm praying. I have it. My hands are empty. But faith is my evidence.
Yes.
So I believe that I have it. And Jesus said, and you'll have it.
Yes.
Now, he didn't stop you. Minister Groyer, if you want to go to the next verse there, because a lot of times we're asking for something and we're believing that we have it, but there's something else that God wants to deal with in our lives. I always like to look at a balance in what this word is saying.
Right.
You know, praise God.
And this reminds me of going back to Mark, scripture, the book of Mark. When you was talking about, there was something else that Jesus had seen in this man. It's not just the faith, but his sins were forgiven. But it says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, see, many people don't like to forgive, but this is part of having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. You're asking or you're praying for something and you have unforgiveness in your heart, it's not going to be answered.
Well, that's clear, because the psalmist said that he that regardeth iniquity in his heart, the Lord said he won't hear them. You know, he won't hear them. And that's something. That's why when we come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ requesting something that he's already done, because it's a finished work, we must make sure that what we are asking and the faith that we have in who we are asking, that it will be done. But our heart, which Jesus is the only one that knows the heart. He is the cardio knower, the heart knower. He knows all of our hearts. So we may come asking for one thing, but there are other things that are unsettled in our lives that God wants to deal with. I mean, none of us are perfect, but we know that each and every day that we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to bless us with certain things that has already been done, we have to examine ourselves and see if
you're in the faith.
We're still in the faith.
Amen.
See if we're still in the faith.
That's right.
And how we do that is our faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Many of us ask for healing, but there's unforgiveness in our lives that God wants you to know.
That's right.
Get it out.
Yes.
Confess it as sin once it's been revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is not a cakewalk. A lot of people think that, well, it's so easy. I just say, well, Jesus, I believe in the Lord Jesus, and
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
No, it's more than just mm-hmm. that.
That's why we want to walk in the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God will give you all the right answers.
Amen.
Amen.
And what is happening is that it's the finished work. We can't add anything to what has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
But we just give the Lord all the praise and thank him for what he's done for us. That's why faith has to be attached to someone, something.
Amen.
Shouldn't say someone, but to something.
Mm-hmm.
Because that faith is the evidence. Amen. The evidence of things not seen.
Praise God.
And most of us don't realize that. Praise God. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you, believing is wonderful. Praise
yes.
God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all conditional.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well,
praise the Lord.
The program is coming to a close, but before we close out this broadcast here, I want Minister Gloria to just extend that invitation. There may be backsliders out there, folks that were saved at one time and fell away from God, but you now have an opportunity. Even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you also can come home. The Father has his arms open. And I'm going to ask Minister Gloria if she would just read Romans 10, verse 9 and 10.
You must remember, faith coming by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But now, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. Praise God. I'm a whosoever, and whosoever out there will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. I thank you for tuning into the broadcast. And don't forget to call that prayer line. Praise God. On Wednesday night there at 7:30. Praise God.
Number is 732-434-2231.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Out.
Feel this anointing.